It's 2 o'clock, and this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 24th, 2015. We'll start today's reading on the front page with projects at 4-H cover wide fields of interest. Sophia Garriott's mother is a teacher, and Sophia, 15, has spent a lot of time around small children. "I just like babysitting," she said. "I get along with kids. I like being around them." She's been babysitting regularly for about a year, she said, but she remembers helping with young relatives, even when she was pretty small herself. It's no wonder that her 4-H project for this year was babysitting bag, and it was good enough that she received a blue ribbon for her work. "This is all the stuff I take with me. I let the kids play what they want, but if they run out of ideas, I have this." Her bag includes paper plates for making dog faces, a blanket for constructing a fort, stuffed toys without detachable eyes that might be swallowed by little ones, which can be used for games or just held, and reading and counting games. Projects deemed the best of the best, as she phrased it, will be entered into the Illinois State Fair and will probably number 40 to 50 projects from local 4-H members. "The young people have a wide variety of ideas from which to choose," Rusk said. "It's no longer just agricultural topics." The display on Thursday included photography, paintings, drawings, quilts, and other textile arts, as well as the more traditional agricultural products, such as a couple of displays of homegrown vegetables. Grace Brewster, 15, entered an example of photo editing, which she described as taking a basic photo and using Photoshop or other digital programs to enhance color, lighting, and composition for the most pleasing effect. Her subject was her cat. She also had a blue ribbon. "Traditionally, 4-H projects are exhibited during county fairs, said Samantha Rusk of the University of Illinois Extension. "But the Macon County Fair is quite early, and 4-H members often need more time to work on their projects. It's better for them if they have some time after school lets out to work on them." They, members, requested we push back the date, she said. McElroy Funeral, filled with humor and community spirit. Mayor Mike McElroy's funeral service featured as many deep belly laughs as encouraging hymns, a fitting tribute for the man lauded for his friendly nature and good humor. Hundreds filled the pews of Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church for the service, which lasted just under 2 hours. Following the funeral, a procession of more than 50 vehicles traveled downtown and around the World War II Veterans Memorial in front of the Decatur Civic Center. McElroy, known almost universally as Tuna, was remembered as a father, husband, brother, friend, and community leader. He served on the Decatur City Council for 6 years, and as mayor for 6 years, elected to another term in April. The Reverend Joseph Malloy said another title would be appropriate for the mayor, who died July 17th at the age of 63, after suffering an apparent heart attack. He said McElroy could also be called Mr. Decatur for his civic pride and willingness to tell everyone who'd listen about the city's good qualities. He was always ready and prepared to be its best cheerleader, he said. He was ready and prepared to see a problem and go after it. Malloy gave an example. Holy Family Catholic Church, where he is pastor, was one of three local churches targeted by the controversial Westboro Baptist Church for a protest last year. McElroy called Malloy twice, asking if there was anything he needed. Malloy said no both times. That Sunday, to Malloy's surprise, McElroy showed up and promised not to leave until the protesters did. He didn't need to do that. Those phone calls would have been enough, but not in his sight, Malloy said. He wanted to be right there addressing the problem head-on. Tim McElroy, one of the mayor's two younger brothers, spoke about his brother as a family man. When we were younger, Tim McElroy waited patiently to inherit his brother's paper route, which he held for about 2 weeks before getting robbed. Before his father could even get to the phone, Mike McElroy was out the door looking for the assailants. They were lucky he didn't find them because they'd have been in big trouble, McElroy said, describing his brother's impressive stature from a young age. After Mike McElroy was elected to the council in 2003, Tim McElroy said his brother and mother began a contentious relationship. Betty McElroy would watch the council meetings on television and then offer her commentary. She'd say, "Timmy, did you see what he was wearing yesterday? Why can't he sit up straight? Timmy," when Councilman Jerry Dawson said something, "did you see the way he rolled his eyes at Jerry?" Tim McElroy recalled as the audience's laughter escalated. They had a love-hate relationship. "But they're up there together right now, and God knows what's going on," he said. Joel Fletcher peppered his eulogy with funny stories about his best friend, which he said was the way McElroy would have wanted it. Fletcher described first meeting McElroy in 1989 at the YMCA, where McElroy would sit on pieces of exercise equipment and read the newspaper. After a few weeks, Fletcher asked McElroy if he actually ever worked out. McElroy turned to him, gave him a look, shrugged, and said indignantly, "Hey, pal, I'm an athlete." The jovial refrain returned years later, on the 4th of July, when McElroy, Fletcher, and some friends were playing golf in stifling heat. McElroy, who used to smoke, was preparing to tee off with a cigarette dangling from his mouth. A single bead of sweat rolled off his nose and extinguished the cigarette in a puff of smoke. As his friends howled with laughter, McElroy hit the ball about 250 yards and turned around, held his hands up, and said, "Hey, I'm an athlete." The two enjoyed a banter-filled rivalry over their religions. McElroy was Catholic and Fletcher is Lutheran, which McElroy once referred to as the cancerous cousins of Catholics. Fletcher also emphasized McElroy's love of the community and generous nature. "He was always gracious, always respectful, always kind. That's what was so likable about Tuna," he said. "He was such a great ambassador to Decatur, for Decatur." "McElroy could find humor in every situation," Fletcher said. During U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy's funeral in 2009, McElroy left a message on Fletcher's answering machine, marveling at the beautiful service. "Look at all those people and all those flowers. This is a big deal," McElroy said. "Now listen, I want everything he's getting and nothing less," though he conceded he did not need an eternal flame. Pointing out the array of flowers in back of the church and the pews packed with mourners, Fletcher observed that the wish his friend made in jest had come true after all. "We'll see you in heaven, buddy," he said. Molloy concluded the service with an Irish blessing. "May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand." Caterpillar Prophet Climb remains steep in second quarter. Peoria, like one of those big Decatur-built mining trucks grinding its way up a steep mountain grade, Caterpillar Incorporated slogged through a tough 2015 second quarter. Results announced Thursday showed profit per share was actually in line with analysts' expectation at $1.27, which fell to $1.16 when adjusted for the cost of workers' layoffs and cutbacks. But that was all down sharply from the 2014 second quarter profit of $1.57, which had come in initially at $1.69 without restructuring costs. Second quarter 2015 sales and revenues were $12.3 billion, falling $300 million short of Wall Street expectations and off 13% from the $14.2 billion logged in the 2014 second quarter. Caterpillar's Resource Industries division, which includes the big Decatur-built trucks did nothing to help the situation. A close look at the Caterpillar numbers shows that Resource Industries didn't produce any excess profit at all in the second quarter. The company described the division's profit as break-even, off $114 million from the 2014 second quarter. Caterpillar blamed the latest results on lower sales volume and manufacturing costs. Rolling three-month retail sales statistics that came out just before Thursday's numbers told the brutal story. Overall, worldwide machine sales across all divisions were off 14% in June, after logging drops of 12% in May and 11% in April. The Resource Industries division stats posted a 13% worldwide sales decline in June, compared to an 8% drop in May and a 9% fall in April. Caterpillar, which sells heavily overseas, said it's being whipsawed by the effects of a strong dollar and a global economy with its hood up in the breakdown lane. World economic growth is about as the company has expected. Severe weakness in mining continues. Construction-related sales in China and Brazil are lower, and new orders for oil-related applications declined, Caterpillar noted in a statement. The company's chairman and CEO, Doug Oberhelman, said conditions in the United States remained modestly positive, but the brighter picture here stood out like a lonely headlight in the darkness compared to almost everywhere else. The global economy remains relatively stagnant, he said. Many of the key industries we serve remain weak, and we haven't seen sustained signs of improvement. Caterpillar is keeping its profit per share forecast for 2015 at $4.70, or $5 without anticipated restructuring costs. But the 2015 sales and revenues outlook has been cut by $1 billion to $49 billion from the previous estimate of $50 billion. Praising his management team, Oberhelman said Caterpillar's plan to keep the profit machine rolling is to maintain a death grip on cost control while delivering the best sales and service it can to its customers. Our Caterpillar team continues its track record of solid operational performance in the face of difficult conditions in several of the key industries we serve, he added. Because we serve cyclical industries, we focus intently on operational execution and cost control. A big chunk of those cost controls has translated into a lot fewer employees. Caterpillar's full-time worldwide workforce stood at 111,247 at the end of the second quarter, down more than 4,000 from the 115,292 employed in the second quarter of 2014. The number of flexible, non-full-time workers worldwide was cut by 786. Caterpillar's second quarter announcement wasn't all pain with no gain, however. Hard on the heels of a recently announced 10% quarterly dividend hike, the company said it will reward investors further by buying back $1.5 billion worth of its stock during the third quarter of 2015. That follows a $500 million share repurchase in the first half of 2015 and $4.2 billion worth of stock buybacks in 2014. But using surplus cash to buy its own shares has not been without controversy. Some industry analysts point out that company executive bonuses are linked to earnings per share, which are inflated by stock repurchases. Oberhelman's pay, bonus, stock awards, and pension payments hit $17 million in 2014 and came in for particular criticism. Caterpillar said in its 2015 second quarter statement that incentive compensation topped out at $200 million for the quarter and is expected to hit $830 million for the full year. That's down from the second quarter 2014 figure of $360 million and the full year total of $1.3 billion. Caterpillar shares finished the day Thursday at $76.88, down $2.88 or 3.61%. West Nile mosquito carrying mosquitoes on the rise. The number of mosquitoes carrying the West Nile virus jumped in July, along with a higher risk of being passed on to humans, but with a wetter than usual summer, officials weren't surprised. "We've had an abundant rain and hot days," said and Macon County has a history of West Nile virus. "We know every year we're going to get it," said Jackie Evans Mosier, director of the Macon Mosquito Abatement District. The Macon County Health Department announced the spike in positive samples, 19 batches so far, in a news release Thursday. The week of July 13th, the district collected 321 batches of mosquitoes from a 100-square-mile area. 19 tested positive for a West Nile-carrying mosquito. Before then, only 4 samples tested positive. As of July 21st, there were no human cases in the county or state, but high test numbers increased transmission risk. And with peak mosquito season from late July to September, it's going to get worse before it gets better, officials said. As the infected numbers increase, so does the chance for human infection, Evans Mosier said. The abatement district treats more than 850 sites for mosquitoes. In the past several weeks, that has included flooded roadside ditches and low spots in wet yards. "A lot of people have called in because of the standing water, and we appreciate that," Evans Mosier said. She expects fewer calls as everything dries up, but that isn't a guarantee. The species of mosquitoes that appear in swarms after a rainfall don't carry West Nile virus. Evans Mosier pointed to a similarly bad summer for West Nile virus in 2013, when a drought caused creeks to dry up, leaving behind puddles in which mosquitoes breed. Mild cases of West Nile infections may cause a slight fever or headache with symptoms occurring 3 to 14 days after being bitten, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. More severe cases come on quickly as a high fever, head and body aches, disorientation, tremors, convulsions. People 50 and older are more at risk for serious illness. The health department advised the public to reduce the risk of contracting West Nile virus with the following tips. Stay indoors at dawn and dusk when mosquitoes are most active. If you go outdoors, wear shoes, socks, a long-sleeve shirt, and long pants. Loose-fitting, light-colored clothing is best. Use insect repellent with 25% to 35% DEET, applied sparingly to exposed skin or clothing, as indicated on the label. Repellents for children should contain no more than 10% DEET, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Ask your doctor before using on young children or infants. Make sure windows and door screens are sealed against insects. Illinois State University's solar car team hopes to shine. Normal. Illinois State University's solar car team has high hopes as it heads to Texas for this year's Formula Sun Grand Prix. "We're very confident we're going to play," said team president Nick Reichman, a graduate student in project management from Crystal Lake. "In 2013, we came in second. We hope to come in first." The competition starts Sunday with 3 days of scrutineering to ensure each student-built vehicle meets race requirements. That is followed by 3 days of racing at the Circuit of the Americas track in Austin, Texas. Reichman was one of the drivers in January when the team competed in the Abu Dhabi Solar Challenge, its first international race against top college teams from around the world. "We're in this to be competitive in the race. Abu Dhabi was for the experience," said Reichman, who received his bachelor's degree in engineering technology from Illinois State in May. Among lessons learned or reinforced in the Abu Dhabi race was the importance of efficient batteries, Reichman said. Illinois State's team will be using lithium-ion batteries instead of the nickel-metal hydride batteries. Reichman said the lithium-ion batteries have double the energy. Illinois State has competed in the Formula Sun Grand Prix since 2005. Every other year, Formula Sun, which is run on a track, is a qualifier for the American Solar Challenge cross-country road race, in which Illinois State has also competed. The next American Solar Challenge is in 2016. Brock Porter of Hayworth, entering his senior year as an engineering technology major, was part of the team that went to Abu Dhabi, but this year will be his first time as a driver. He is mostly looking forward to meeting members of other solar teams and exchanging ideas. They're fun people to hang out with, Porter said. The American Solar Challenge website lists 17 teams competing in this year's Formula Sun Grand Prix. The good news for competitors is a forecast for sunny days next week. The bad news for the drivers in the small cockpit is for the drivers in the small cockpit, forecast highs of 100 degrees or more. Reichman said they would probably change drivers every hour. Jim Dunham, a physics model maker, who is the team sponsor, said that many of the other teams are better funded than Illinois State. We do well by keeping our cars simple, Dunham said. Milliken paving eco-friendly way in new construction. Changes happening on the Milliken University campus are providing an example for the type of construction that can occur elsewhere. The recently designed arrival court between Richard Street University Center and Schilling Hall provides more benefits than simply being visually appealing, as it utilizes a new type of drainage system, said Ken Jordan, Milliken's Director of Facility Services. We wanted to create an inviting environment, Jordan said. This is symbolic of the transformation that will happen over the next few years. We are tremendously excited about the changes. Milliken hosted a sustainable site project demonstration on Thursday to show how appropriately 10,000 square feet of permeable pavers that were recently installed is able to drain. Engineers and architects were invited to watch as members of the Latham Fire Department poured 2,000 gallons of water onto the surface to show how the system from Bellegarde Commercial works. Milliken is a fitting place to demonstrate what is the largest and one of the first systems of its kind to be installed in the Decatur area, said Aaron Ward, a designer with Custom Hardscapes, a division of Custom Landscapes of Decatur. The company worked with Decatur Park District to install a similar system in the entry plaza at Scoville Zoo, Ward said. How to handle stormwater drainage is becoming an increasingly pressing issue in more communities, Ward said. This is a good place to continue the education and let them know it exists, as we hope to get it in more places, Ward said. The progression of this system is taking off because of the need for stormwater drainage. The system eliminates the need for retention ponds and reduces flooding, said Serena Galvin, a Bellegarde site solution specialist. It's all eco-friendly and has a cooling effect as the water hits the surface, Galvin said. The system can be installed quickly and in the rain, which Ward said enables such projects to stay on schedule. He said it is able to withstand traffic from heavy equipment, such as the garbage trucks that are driven through the arrival court area, or the fire truck that was part of the demonstration. Galvin said the next step will be to see how the system handles in the winter, when it can reduce the amount of salt that's needed to be applied to avoid a slippery surface. Robbery suspect caught by video surveillance. Melvin L. Chapman, a 51-year-old Decatur man with an extensive criminal history, is being held in the Macon County Jail on $75,000 bond for allegedly robbing a teen as he parked his car on Merchant Street. About 2 p.m. June 23rd, a 17-year-old male was in his vehicle when a man approached him on the driver's side. He told the teen that he wanted all of his money and that he had a gun, said the arrest affidavit by a Decatur patrol officer. The teen victim gave the robber a $20 bill, then exited his vehicle and walked to a nearby business. The robber followed him for a brief time. The suspect did not display a gun, but claimed to have one, the affidavit said. Police investigating the incident found surveillance video from a business that captured the robbery. The black male on the video fit the description of a suspect known to frequent the area by business owners and the Decatur Police Department, Melvin Chapman, the affidavit said, adding that he has a long afro-style hair, a goatee, and a mustache, as well as the same body type, height, and weight as the robber in the video. The victim was shown a jail booking photo of Chapman, taken 6 days before this incident. He identified the man in the photo as the person who robbed him. Chapman is due in circuit court for his arraignment by Thursday. He is also scheduled to appear in court to present his lawyer September 15th in a misdemeanor case of criminal trespass in connection with the June incident. Chapman has 13 prior criminal convictions, including a 2014 narcotics possession case, for which he is serving a 24-month felony probation term. He has served 6 terms in the Illinois Department of Corrections, including a 6-year sentence for armed robbery in 1981 and a 15-year sentence for residential burglary in 2004. This next is from Decatur Tribune Online. Paul Osborne City Beat. Paul's Confectionery to celebrate 70th anniversary at 999 North Water Street location on Saturday. Paul's Confectionery is going to observe its 70th anniversary at 999 North Water Street with a car show on Saturday, July 25th. The car and motorcycle show will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. In a world of vanishing mom-and-pop businesses, this is one that still exists in Decatur, Illinois. Congratulations to Joe and Carol Keller and Robin Lash. There will be parking all around Paul's location, and the car show will be held across the street at Wilson's Garage and Hennington's Garage on the street. Check it all out on Saturday, and also relive a little history of a business that's been around since most of us can remember. In case you're wondering why the business was established in 1924, it's the 70th anniversary. The 70th anniversary is for being located in the same place at 999 North Water Street for 70 years, which is very significant in itself. How many restaurants do you know that are still operating in the same location for 70 years? We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 24th, 2015. Please stay tuned. This is Barbara Reitenauer.